His name is John. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear, holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Three things I've learned during this year. To live a life of obedience no matter what circumstances I find myself in. To trust him even when I feel like he's a million miles away and I'm not hearing. To live with expectancy that God will work. And he can work in even people like me. And so we praise him. When we live lives of obedience, trust him even when silent, live with expectancy that God will use us. We cannot help but praise his holy name.
Leading up to this was such a difficult time, not just for me, but him as well. You see, for Zechariah, when a man in Israel had no children, how could he testify to the faithfulness of God through all the generations when for 40 years he'd been waiting and nothing? And for me, I was way too old to be pregnant. And I'd pretty much given up all hope for a child. Barren. That was a word that I absolutely detested. Void of any life. Everyone knew that God's power and blessing was through the children that they produced. Children were seen, the scriptures talk about the fact that children were seen as a heritage from the Lord, and so my infertility, was that judgment from God? That's what I was wondering. Zechariah even had legal rights to divorce me because I was producing no children for him. But he was a good man, and he loved me so much, he cared for me. And numbers of our, neighbors and friends were even speculating, what has Elizabeth done? What sin has she committed that God's bringing this judgment on them? So pain, sadness, shame, disgrace, embarrassment. These were all words and feelings that just constantly were with me. As I go back through my journal that I wrote down some things that God was showing me that I want to share with you. The first one was written in the height of that seemingly hopeless time. And it says this: in the difficulty of this time, I am remembering in the scriptures Rachel, who screamed at Jacob, give me children or I will die. And there's Hannah, who wept inconsolably and refused to eat due to her barrenness. And Sarah became pregnant with a child when she was literally ancient. These stories do give me comfort, but it's still so hard. Some of my friends are also in situations where God is seeming to not come through for them. It's as if he's meeting us all with a stony silence. Some of them have abandoned him and lost all hope. Others are wondering, how long can they continue to follow him with the emptiness of unmet needs and desires? And today the Lord is showing me too that I have stopped looking forward, as if somehow without a child, I have no future. But deep down, I do know that there is always a future, just as there's always a present. It's just that the future is only empty of hope if I leave the grace of God out of the picture. So I am determined to remain faithful and obedient to God, even in the midst of his seeming absence. I refuse to become bitter or cynical, For I know full well, since the beginning of time, it has been Satan's plan to get us to feel sorry for ourselves and turn away from him. I choose to believe in the goodness of God, and that he promises over and over that he will never abandon his people, even if our prayers are not answered in the usual way. I will live by faith and not by sight, and I will trust that he is always at work, even though it really does not look like anything is happening at all. It wasn't long after that that Zachariah came running back to me from his priestly duties in Jerusalem. And I laughed now that he couldn't speak, which is so strange. So we wrote on a tablet that we were going to have a son, and his name would be John, which means God would be gracious. God has been gracious. Zachariah told me so many things, and that at the time there was such a blur that our son would be both great in the sight of the Lord and bring many people back to him, that our son would prepare the way for the Lord's coming, that our son would go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. And I remember, too, Isaiah's prophecy of the voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Was that voice referring to our son? There was so much to reflect upon. And my next journal entry goes like this. My joy is overwhelming, for the Lord has taken away my disgrace among the people and has shown me his favor. For so many years, I have been defined by others as sinful and disgraceful, causing me to want to hide. But God is seeing me in a totally different way, as worthy of his blessing, completely taking away this disgrace that this world has burdened me with. I am now defined by the grace of God. But not only that, our son is the forerunner to the Messiah, the one we have been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years, the one who is going to restore and redeem all things. The fulfillment of the prophecies of long ago have pointed to this very moment. If I had given up on God because of my barrenness, I would be forfeiting this God-given role. I may not understand, but God is showing me to never stop trusting him. His timing is perfect. God has had something in store for me all along, something I could not see or comprehend, and beyond anything I could ever have dreamed of. It is so clear now that my impossible situation has become a platform for God to do an amazing and supernatural work. I think of my friends who have given up on God, who think he doesn't care, who think he doesn't hear their cries. My friends who got angry with God because life is hard and God is not seeming to come through. And so they've decided to do life their way. Oh, how I wish they could now see that God does answer. But in his time, I spent the first 5 wonderful months of my pregnancy in seclusion, worshiping and praising God for this miracle that he's done, before I was going to go to my friends and neighbors and tell them what God had done. I was in my 6th month of pregnancy when Mary came, totally unannounced. It was the most profound moment that I have ever experienced in my life. And it changed me forever. Because when Mary came, my baby literally leaped in the womb, and it was an incredible sense of the Holy Spirit coming upon me. And I knew at this moment that it was my cousin Mary who was carrying the Messiah. We have had so many people coming into our neighborhood claiming to be the Messiah, but when I saw Mary, I knew that this was the she was the one carrying the Messiah. And as I reflect on these moments, as I listen to what God might be saying, I recorded this in my journal now. Oh, to stand in the presence of the Messiah, even though as of yet he is unborn, is surely a gift from God that I have no words for. I am in awe. There are certain promises about him I know to be true, for I've read them in the scriptures for years and years. With such hope and expectation, he will be called Emmanuel, he will bring a light to Galilee, he will heal the brokenhearted, speak and teach in parables. He will one day be betrayed and falsely accused, he will be spat upon and struck, he will be crucified with criminals as a sacrifice for sin, but he will be resurrected from the dead and ascend to heaven to be seated at God's right hand. These are things that are spoken about the child that Mary carries. If Mary's child is God in flesh, he is Lord of all. And if he's Lord of all, then he must be Lord of me. So that means I belong to him. I will worship him with all I have, all the days of my life, even though I have not seen him. I wonder about the generations to come. Will every knee bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord through the ages? Will they be in wonder and awe that the Messiah has come as much as I am and is soon to be coming? Will they give their lives to follow him? When they see him and they read about him, will they break down and weep because of his incredible love and grace and mercy? Will they listen to him and obey his every word in all things? How can they not? Surely they must. God also gave me some other encouragement over Mary's surprise visit that I wrote down. How easy it is for me to get irritated by interruptions in my days. This could so easily have been the case when Mary arrived, but no, I see this as a divine interruption. But now I get to affirm and support Mary in her confusion, her anxiety, and dispel any fears that she may have. This is such a lesson for me, to be attentive to God's Spirit, to be available to him. It would be so easy for me right now to be fixed and focused on my pregnancy, my story, my issues, my joy, to believe that life is all about me, especially since God has done this miracle in me. But if I did that, I would miss these rich moments I'm having with Mary while she's here. Yes, God is full of surprises. But as I stay close to him, I hear him speak, and I can see how he's using me to bless the mother of my Lord. I know that throughout history, God has spoken constantly. But the only way I can really be aware of that still small voice is to take my eyes off of me and fix them on him. Our son John was born 2 weeks ago. Nobody could understand why he'd be called John. None of our relatives had that name. Our friends and neighbors probably thought I was so outspoken and so rude, but I was adamant, no, his name will be John. And they still wouldn't believe it, so even Zachariah, in his muteness, was told that he had to confirm that name. People always assume that a child will have his father's name or will carry on in his father's footsteps, so they assume that our son would become a priest. And by not calling our son Zachariah, we are stating the complete opposite, that no, our son would not follow in his father's footsteps, and no, he would not be a priest. So that's why everyone was asking, what then is this child going to be? So my last journal entry reflects some of the thoughts on this. I don't know what my child's life will look like, or what his future will be, but I know that God will use him in a profound way, for he is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. But how, I don't know. I do know that the Lord has chosen me to faithfully raise this boy. And God is showing me that all his people get a part to play in this grand narrative if we are faithful and obedient to him. People in my time and people in generations to come, even people thousands of years from now, all of us, even me, a simple woman, gets to be a part of that story. I don't know how it's all going to work out or what it's going to look like, but this is where I must live by faith and watch, and I will hope in both excitement and expectation, for Emmanuel is surely coming.